Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live, part of the Believe Podcast Network, sponsored as always by our friends at Bet Online. My name is Nick Kirby, and we are so excited to have you with us as we talk about the red hot Cincinnati Reds. The Reds went 4-2 with back-to-back series wins on their homestand. It has been a very much needed encouraging week for Reds fans, and we're going to talk about all of that on tonight's show. But first, I want to tell you about our partners at Bet Online. They continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started. Head on over to the website today and use your mobile device to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. That's the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. Bet Online is where the game starts. And now for tonight's show, here is Tim Daniel.
We've had a fun week of Reds baseball, finally. So we can talk about this. We've needed this week for sure. I'm Tim Daniel. Always excited to have you guys here with us. Joining me, our excellent panel, starting with our producer, the man who puts this together for us each and every week. Also, I got to hang out with him and his family last weekend at old GABP on Saturday afternoon. Carlos, you were definitely missed for sure. My good pal, Nicholas Kirby. What's up, buddy?
I have to say, it's a lot more enjoyable being on here after back-to-back series wins than after an 18-4 loss, live instant reaction. So, what a difference a week makes. Fun week for the Reds. Excited to talk about it.
I love it. And here with us this week, as always, sporting his brand new headphones if you're watching the stream. But if you're not, he just has really new headphones that are really nice. Former big league pitcher. I now own a couple of his Bowman first baseball cards. Mr. Carlos Guevara. What's up, pal?
What's happening, boys? How y'all doing?
Good, man. I'm good. I'm so stoked that I can add you to my PC of baseball card collecting. It's long overdue.
I'm glad you can as well, buddy. You probably have just as many... my mom probably still has the lead on my baseball cards. It's going to be tough to catch her. I think she bought out the whole inventory.
Well, when I see Nick next week in Cleveland, I'm bringing one up for him. So I'll be down to two again. But still, they will go next to Joey because you guys are BFFs.
That's going to be nothing compared to what Emma gets here pretty soon.
I heard.
Emma Kirby. Shout out Emma Kirby.
Emma Kirby.
Represent.
When I said, Emma, who's your favorite co-host on Late Night Reds Talk Live? She said, Carlos.
Hey, I'm trading a Joey Votto Jedi bobblehead for a Carlos Guevara baseball card. So, I mean,
that's what friends are for.
You easily won that deal. Trying to figure out my camera. Sorry.
No, you're good, man. It's part of the fun of the podcast. But
got to get that
also,
best angle.
Yeah. Before we get on and talk about just the stuff with the team, I do got to let you know if you go to latenightreds.merchmake.com, you can get our merchandise, get some swag. You got some stuff there for your dogs, you know, like dog t-shirts and dog bandanas. Got a Big Red Platoon t-shirt. We have hoodies.
Some panties for your grandma there.
Those are, that's a dog bandana.
Oh.
Jeez, Carlos. But yes, I know what it looks like in the picture. So if you guys want to support us and be a part of the team, latenightreds.merchmake.com. We definitely appreciate it. But hey, let's go ahead and talk about the Reds, baby. Winners of four of their last six. And today, a big win to secure a series victory over the first place in the Central, Milwaukee Brewers, by a final of 14-11. And it was 14-5 going into the ninth inning. We're not here to talk about that part yet. But just seeing the offense kind of getting their swagger back, starting with the Pirates series, and then this, you know, this series kind of keeping it going. You look at those two games they lost in the homestand. So the first one, they're down big in the first inning of a bullpen game on Saturday night and make a run at it. I think they ended up losing 7-5, if I remember correctly. It was pretty close. And then yesterday, I mean, their one excellent play from Julio Urias at shortstop from sweeping the series against the Brewers, potentially. So just really a fun, exciting weekend. Colin Moran being tremendous and at the plate, hitting four homers during the series, hitting a grand slam on Sunday, and then following it up later with another homer. You've got so much to be excited about finally. The bullpen, you know, looked really good. I know they lost yesterday, but I thought Hunter Green looked like he was a lot more patient and calm. It looked like he threw the ball a little more confidently. I know he had some walks. And he did give up a solo shot, but really, I thought he pitched pretty well. Overall, just a great homestand. You know, no one's going to complain about 4 out of 6, especially when you take 2 out of 3 from the division leaders. So awesome, awesome, awesome homestand. So excited to see how this road trip goes.
Yeah, I mean, you beat the division champs and front runners for it. Beat them in a series. If you can't be happy and positive about this right now tonight, then I don't really know why you're following the Reds. I mean, it is what it is. The offseason, it is what it is. If you want to stay pissed and mad about ownership and keep crying about the same old shit, go ahead. But on this show, we're gonna be positive and look forward and watching these kids grow.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like some of the guys the Reds picked up this offseason after they did make the moves are all playing pretty well. I mean, Tommy Pham's been outstanding. Colin Moran is finally looking solid. I mean, I think he's a well above average hitter against right-handed pitching, which is the only reason he was brought in. Brandon Drury, we already got a question about that. Can he be Scooter 2.0? I mean, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I don't know if Drury will be able to hit as good as Scooter over, you know, like a long season, but he's definitely a much better defensive player and has a lot more position flexibility. And that's going to be interesting to see kind of once some guys get healthy, where do they fit him in? Because this is a guy, we haven't seen him play left field or right field, but he's played a lot in the outfield throughout his career too. So, yeah, I mean, some of these guys they picked up have done well. I mean, I guess that's a positive if you're looking at the future. Okay, maybe they got really lucky, or hey, maybe they're evaluating some of these guys, you know, pretty well. So that's good. And then, I mean, obviously, you know, Tyler Stevenson and Luis Castillo. I mean, you start with those two guys. It's a pretty different team with those two guys on your roster. You know, Luis Castillo just was really sharp in his first start, for it being his first start on Monday. And then Tyler Stevenson, my goodness, he just he is legit. I mean, he is everything you want. Everything you were hoping for, and you hope he can stay healthy. I don't really see any long-term issues with him, but, you know, just playing catcher, you get banged up. But, man, he is he's incredible. I don't know what else to say.
Tyler Stevenson right now is second amongst National League catchers in weighted runs created plus behind Wilson Contreras.
Well, and I think he passed that today. I think
he did for a bit, and then Contreras had a big game.
Did he? Okay. Yeah.
Damn him.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully Wilson Contreras will get traded to the American League and then definitely have the best offensive catcher.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not even talking about the fact he DH'd today, and you know, it's a little different as far as flexibility. He got YouTube player of the game, so that was cool. I know we were texting the three of us just about how brutal Yonder Alonso was as the color man on that broadcast.
How many times did he bring up that he got traded by Walt Jocketty?
Oh my god. Yeah. When he was like, you know, that's a Cincinnati home run. And I was like, buddy, you hit one at GABP the whole time you were a Red. One.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough. I couldn't make it past the second inning. There's a foul man. Ball. Heads up. Heads up. I can't hear you, buddy.
I was really impressed with the part with Luis Castillo when they were talking to him and he was like speaking Spanish. I thought that was cool. But yeah, just not in love with Yonder Alonso calling games by any means. So
maybe Yonder should be maybe Yonder should be a sideline reporter. Maybe he'd be better at that.
Yeah. Just a little bit of airtime, not a lot of airtime. Maybe start making up your own like rules about you don't ever want to make the second out at third. Wait, what? I just spent the last 35 years of my life being taught that you cannot do that, that it's okay to make the second out and not the first and third. What's happening here?
Dude, how about TJ Friedl today getting on base four times?
Yeah, TJ Friedl's played well.
A two-strike bunting machine, baby.
Yeah. Hey, I think he's a nice player. Yeah,
he's fine.
I'm not on the TJ Friedl's the answer long-term in center field, but he's certainly a nice player to have as I think, you know, like your fourth, fifth outfielder, maybe a guy you're, you know, shipping back and forth between Louisville. I need to see a little bit more power, but yeah, I mean, hey, you can't ask for much more than he's giving you. And he's a really nice defensive player too. So
yeah, he's certainly been more impressive than Alejo Lopez, but that's a different story. Cause we're talking happiness.
Is Alejo Lopez still the team?
I think he had a bat last night. So I mentioned it for a second, and I know this is kind of like one of the conversations that we have throughout the year, probably for as long as he's with the organization. Carlos, I don't know if you had I know you texted us a little bit about what you were seeing in the game, but Hunter Green. So, you know, obviously last time out against Milwaukee has kind of a really unique stat line of 2 2/3 innings with 7 strikeouts, but 5 homers. This time gets a second taste of them. And I thought what was really impressive here was like the night before, you know, Brandon Woodruff faced the Reds in Milwaukee and was awesome. And the Reds got to him. And it was the opposite for Hunter Green, where he really struggled in Milwaukee. He comes back and faces him for the second time here. And you can see he wasn't perfect by any means. Obviously, I mean, he had 3 walks in the first inning, but you could just see like, it was like he picked some stuff up. I think he was pissed off that Willie Adames was talking shit after he hit that homer off him in the first game. But I really liked how he handled himself. He didn't like when he gave up a hit or gave up a walk. It wasn't like he lost control. I was really impressed with like just seeing the growth from week to week with him for those 2 starts.
Yeah. I mean, it's baseball, right? Especially division baseball. You got to make adjustments from start to start from the last time you faced that opponent to the next. You certainly can't have the same game plan. You got to switch it up. And Hunter Green did. He threw, I think it was pretty close to 50% or like as many sliders as he did fastballs. And that was great. That was awesome. You know, it took him a while. That first inning was brutal. Thank God the Brewers kept swinging, because or else he would have probably walked everyone through the damn 7-hole hitter. But he got out of it. No runs. Like Nick said, all I see is a 0. That made me laugh. But he showed the competitiveness, the composure of a 6-7-year-old vet. He didn't let that bother him. He let that first inning go. He went back out there the second inning, didn't have a great second inning. Third inning was better. Fourth was great. Fifth was better. Like that showed so much progress, you know, so much maturity going through that, being able to work through that. That was really awesome. Even though I didn't think his pitches were sharp and great, but his stuff is good enough that it's okay. You know, the only thing that I wish I could have seen was, you know, it was late in his outing where I forget who was at bat, but they kept fouling it off and it was getting like 2-2, 3-2 or whatever. And I'm like, he's been throwing 99 this entire AB. If he throws 101, 102, there's no chance he's going to catch up to it. I don't know if he had that in the tank or he didn't want to reach back for it or what, but I mean, but to complain about not throwing 102, that's kind of asking a lot, right?
I saw, normally I think this guy's a moron, but Dan Plesac.
Call him?
No. MLB, Dan Plesac from MLB Network, said that he sees some young Dwight Gooden in Hunter Green.
Stop.
And that was like, you know, I've said El Duque as far as like you see like the mechanics and stuff like that. Obviously not the skill set just quite yet. And also, you know, Dwight Gooden was the best pitcher in baseball for 3 years. So if Hunter Green does end up Dwight Gooden, I'm excited about that. You know, we laughed about that last year during the draft. Remember when it was like this fifth round center fielder reminds me of Ken Griffey Jr. And you're like, but yeah, I really liked what I saw from him. I was really excited.
There's not very many people you can compare Hunter Green to. This guy throws free and easy 99. He's not max effort 99. That's just trying to locate at 99, 98. There's not very many people in the history of the game that have ever done that.
It's such a different era of baseball, too. Like
right.
It was like a complete unicorn. And in some ways, Hunter Green is, but there's relievers that throw just like Hunter Green, you know? So it's kind of a totally different thing. But yeah, I mean, Carlos is right. It was 48% sliders to 48% fastballs for Green. So it's cool to see him make that adjustment. The Brewers only had 5 hard hit balls all night. They had 8 in the game last week. That was where it only lasted 2 2/3 innings. So, yeah, I mean, great comment here from Diehard Reds. You know, we just want to see progress with Hunter Green. I mean, that is all this season is about. It's not really about what numbers he puts up. It's just, is he getting better? Is he improving? Because he's only 22 years old.
Fuck, at 22, I was going back to low A ball. Like, that was my first spring training, and I went to college. I threw a lot more than Hunter Green threw. I'm not comparing myself to Hunter Green at all. It's just kind of like perspective on your, you know, on what you should expect from Hunter Green. Like, relax a little bit. No matter what he does this entire year, just relax. And, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I mean, I'll talk crap about it on Twitter on this should happen, that should have happened, or whatever. But at the end of it, he's 22, man, and he hasn't thrown the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, what?
And that's the only way that you can learn is in-game. You can throw as many bullpens as you want, but you're not going to learn how to pitch until you're facing live hitters.
Yeah, exactly. He's incredible to play with him in MLB The Show. I don't know if anyone's done that yet, but definitely a blast to use in that game. I want to talk real quick because I know I kind of brushed over us for a second, and I'm not here to focus on the negative by any means. But today, you know, obviously there's no fault with us with David Bell bringing in Darian Moreto when it did, how close, you know, how far the game apart it was. But it just seems like his confidence level is just kind of down. And I'm not out on him by any means. I think his stuff's electric. I think he's a really good pitcher. You can just kind of tell, like, maybe he just doesn't have that swagger of like taking the ball right now. Do you guys kind of think like maybe this is a situation where you see him go down to AAA again for a little bit, or what you kind of see from him moving forward from this team, or see if he can kind of get that swagger back a little bit?
I mean, I guess it depends on who's down there, what the options are. Where do you want him to work on his stuff? Do you want him to work on his stuff in the major leagues, or do you want him to work it out in AAA? I mean, I think he's a major league reliever. He looks like he's got the stuff. It's just, I mean, it's such small tweaks to make an adjustment as a reliever. And it's so hard to work on that because you can't throw bullpens before the game. Like as a starter, you have to feel your stuff out in the bullpen before you go in. And then hopefully it translates during the game, but it's so hard to make those adjustments. And we'll see what they decide to do with him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the AAA bullpen looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I put too much stock in like what he did today, because the Reds had a big lead. It was a weird situation for him to come into in the ninth inning. One of his other recent starts was as an opener, so he's kind of been using some weird roles. I think I personally feel much more confident that it's probably time to send Gutierrez down to build his confidence up, because we have a much bigger sample with him. With Moreta, I would, like I think what Carlos was saying, you know, lean on what does DJ think? You know, does he think that this can be fixed at the major league level? Just because, I mean, he's only probably faced, you know, he's like 14 innings this year. So it's not like he has a ton. So if they see something that they can fix at the MLB level, you know, go for it. But I definitely think it's time to send, you know, Gutierrez down and let him get a couple starts. Let him hopefully, you know, gain some confidence back, because he just, it just right now does not look like a big league starter.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you could definitely see today, like, you know, thank God the offense got him a 7-0 start, because you kind of see he was all over the place and wasn't like, you know, his challenge pitches were like very easy to hit. It looked like it stretches. So, I'm fine with that. I do like Vlad. I think Vlad's a good pitcher, but I think it does kind of look like he needs to kind of take that route there for a little bit, especially, you know, Mike Minor's kind of rehabbing now. He just had he had batting in AAA where he looked pretty good. So I know Pabst Blue Monday is normally on here to say we can't speak of Mike Minor, but I think this is kind of the route it's going to go, because I can't see a situation where, obviously, I don't think Hunter or Lodolo are going down. And now that Luis is back too, I think that's kind of the inevitable decision to make.
I mean, you know, Gutierrez has had like a season and a half to work on this. You know?
Right.
He's had plenty of time, and I don't see it. He's not missing enough bats to I think have enough success, unless he's really, you know, changing a lot of his, you know, mechanics and things like that.
Yeah. His stuff is just, it's not good enough to get away with throwing, you know, on the thirds of the plate. He's got to spot up his stuff with every pitch, whether it's a fastball, a slider, or a changeup. He's got to be extremely – they all have to be extremely well-placed, and right now he's just not doing that. Everything's over the heart of the plate. There's not enough difference in velocity in each pitch. So it's pretty easy, I guess, if you could say it's easy to hit a fastball or a major league pitch, but the opponents are making it seem that way.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Carlos is on fire tonight, guys.
He's bringing it. A couple wins, man, and he's got all the mojo back. I love
it. Spring back in him. I like it.
Spring in the step.
Yeah. I did mention it. So Mike Minor, real quick. I had a couple, had an outing there in AAA Louisville. Kind of getting the groove back for him as well. Looked like he pitched pretty well. So through three innings with four Ks. So, and after throwing 50 pitches. So looks like they're talking about him tentatively getting another start. Is it this Sunday? I think it is for the bats.
Correct.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have him back in a couple weeks or so. I think that could only be helpful with, like, we just kind of talked about the conversation with Gutierrez. So I know a lot of people are very anti Mike Minor. I'm not really against him. I know that there wasn't love because of the offseason, but veteran left-handed pitcher who can throw some innings, like, sure, you know.
People are only anti Mike Minor because there's a, what was it, $10 million attached to him?
Like eight.
Eight, yeah, they're like.
Well, when you subtract Garrett's.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. He's fifth starter. Come on.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to worry about rushing him back. I mean, what do you... You only have him this year. I mean, I don't think he's a guy you're probably looking to extend. So, hey, as soon as they can get him back, I don't think he's going to be getting those 4 or 5 rehab starts, you know, to make sure.
Hey, tryout season, baby.
But yeah, but he's a veteran arm that, you know, can...
Former All-Star.
Eat just some innings. And again, I don't see what people are seeing that he's, you know, super terrible. He's never in his entire career had a season where he had a fielding independent pitching above 5. Everything has been, you know, 4 below. And yeah, that may not be much, but when you're running out Vladimir Gutierrez and Robert Duggar and whoever the hell,
San Martin. And-
yeah, I mean, that's you know, at least going to, you know, keep you in some games and at least not, you know, have your brains beat in every, you know, couple nights.
Very fond of not having our brains beat in every couple of nights. This was a very fun homestand. Matthew Fessler says, Carlos brings more red to the table than that chart. For those who are watching, Nick puts together his.
Thank you, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
That was my best man at my wedding, Matthew Fessler. Nice.
I was like, me? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I was like, huh.
Must have been real drunk.
We've been friends for a long time, but I didn't realize that. Yeah, red is in fire is what he followed up with. So, Carlos, you are bringing the fire.
Yeah.
Unlike Kings of Leon, if anyone remembers that band for their existence.
Dang it, Tim. You had to go there.
Did not have Kings of Leon on my late night Reds Talk bingo card tonight.
You're welcome. You also don't have a host as random as me. So
it is true.
Yeah, that is also very true. So this was actually asked by Jim in the chat, because we'll talk about here because Nick has the IL pulled up. So the question that Jim brought up was, what's up with Votto and Senzel with the so-called COVID? Moose and Naquin came back quick and there's been nothing really said about it. Bobby Nightingale did mention that Joey and Senzel will be going on, looks like rehab starts, and they will not be joining the team during the 9-game road trip. Super bummer, just for the sake that I'm going to the game Tuesday in Cleveland, and so I won't see Joey. And then also they're playing at Toronto, which, like, I think he's played at Toronto once in his whole major league career. So he doesn't get a chance to do it here, playing his home city. So that part's a bummer, obviously. But, you know, this is also a guy that probably wants to work, you know, work a little more on his swing and really value those at-bats. We talked about part of the reason, Carlos talked about part of the reason he felt like he was really struggling was, like, you know, he hadn't had that timing yet and he didn't have those, you know, month of spring training at-bats he normally gets to kind of get that tuning in. So maybe that's kind of, this is what this kind of game plan is. Go down to Louisville or Dayton or somewhere, get a few at-bats in. Tell you what, if he goes to Louisville or Dayton, I might drive actually and go check those out. They're both about an hour from me each way, so.
Yeah, if Votto and Senzel are on that Louisville roster and they call up Matt McClain, I mean, like, that could be
that'd be fun.
That could be a better lineup than the big league club some nights.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
I mean, Aquino too in there. I mean, you know,
he's got two homers.
You just had to say Aquino, didn't you? You just had to throw it in there. Son of a.
When he sent out the slides, and I was like looking at the minor league update that we're going to talk about later, I was like, Aquino's not on there. Weird.
I waited 27 minutes. I mean, I feel like I deserve a lot of credit for that.
You do. You do. I will give you your credit.
It was hard. It was hard.
That's what she said.
Oh.
Oh, man. So, but yes, the good news is the IL is starting to clear up a little bit finally. Naquin's back. Moose is back, and Moose has continued his good hitting from right before he went to the IL, so that's exciting. You know, but it is kind of like, it is strange. I do agree with kind of what Jim's talking about, because, like, COVID's COVID. I know it's different for everybody how they react to it. I'm not here to get into the political part of this. Jonathan India, we haven't heard a whole lot about since his injury. And then who had Nick waiting 27 minutes mentioned Aquino on their bingo card. That's probably more shocking than my Kings of Leon reference.
Yeah.
Jake Fraley, I feel like there's been, like, no update on since it was like he had knee inflammation. And it's like, did they cut his leg off? Like, we've had no update on that. So, yeah, I do feel like, and we've talked about this quite a bit. Like, I feel like, you know, Nick's kind of talked about it gives no benefit to kind of mentioning what's going on with every guy and their injuries and this and that. But I also feel like as a fan base, they really kind of just want to kind of be kept in the loop. And that's one of the things that, like, I'm not frustrated for all the decisions they made as far as, like, the moves, but I'm frustrated because, like, I don't know what's going on. When's my guy number 6, Jonathan India, coming back with the sweet lettuce coming out of his head and leading our team, leading Pat and leadoff for us again, especially now that we're winning and getting more consistent. You know, that's what I want to kind of feel out.
Yeah. The Jonathan India one to me is the biggest question mark. Like, what's going on? I don't know on that. The other ones that are on the, you know, on the COVID IL, I mean, all you got to do is 1 + 1 = 2, right? So kind of figure that out and see how much time we got whenever they come back. But more than likely, they're probably going to, you know, have their minor league rehab assignments, make sure they get their swing back and everything adjusted for a little bit. I don't see them having long extended rehab assignments, but I'm sure they want to get back and join the team. But it is kind of weird. Like, are all the other teams is, you know, secretive about their players being on the IL as the Reds are? Because I don't ever remember it being this way.
I think the Astros kind of are. Like, I think it was like Yordan Alvarez. No, I'm sorry, it was Seattle. Like, Mitch Haniger was out with COVID for, like, longer than Joey's been this year. And it was like, he was, like, out, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, it was like 10-day IL instead of just COVID IL. And it was like, what happened here? I don't understand. So I'm sure every team is to an extent. Actually, as I say that, Mitch Haniger still is out after he got his COVID stuff. So
yeah, I'm not talking about the ones that have status with COVID. I'm talking about like Jonathan India, Solano, Barrero. Like,
I don't believe that Jonathan.
Even Solano's maybe I'm not reading. I'm not seeing all the stories that are coming out or the reports on when they're supposed to be coming back. Maybe I've totally missed that. If I am, I'm sorry, but I just
no because I, you're
I,
not.
I don't know.
I firmly am at the point where I'm starting to doubt will Jonathan Solano ever actually have an at bat for the Reds.
Yeah, the COVID stuff totally different because that's, you know, HIPAA and all that kind of weird stuff.
Sure.
There's nothing you can do about that. But yeah, I wish they would give a little bit more information about the guys that are actually on the IL because it doesn't change anything. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help your opponents. What I'm talking about is when they're still on the active roster, you absolutely should be secretive about it because if you're giving information out, you're helping your opponent being able to plan late in the game. So I totally understand why they're secretive about that. I would definitely like to know what's going on with Solano a little bit more. I know we get like bits and pieces here and there, but I do wish there was maybe a little bit more transparency with that. But I don't know. I mean, Carlos, I guess I'd ask you this. Is there any sort of like, you know, with like a guy like Donovan Solano who's on a 1-year contract and is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, is there any sort of like unwritten rules like you're not supposed to make a guy's injury sound as bad because like a guy could get, you know, ticked off that you're maybe hurting his value that, hey, this guy's been hurt worse than he is. Is there anything like that?
No, because everybody has access to the medical records. You can't hide medical records. So they'll be able to see what those MRIs, all that's going to be shared with all the other teams. So it's not going to help him at all by the Reds being quiet about it or him by being quiet about it. The only thing that's going to help him for next year is going to be him playing. So they're not going to give him the same contract that the Reds gave him this year, you know, next year. So if he doesn't play, so.
Yeah, that's a interesting, like about Solano is like, man, you think he'd be wanting to hurry back because he's only got so much time to,
right.
You know, to get it right. Like guys like Schrock, you know, hey, it doesn't benefit him very much coming back early. He's still got 4 years of arbitration left ahead of him. So, but yeah, I mean, guys like Solano and Minor that are kind of maybe not fighting for their baseball life, but, you know, not far from it. You know, yeah, they.
Has there been a peep about Barrero? I haven't heard anything or read anything.
He's running he was taking defensive drills, but not taking at bats, I believe.
Dang, so he's still a good ways away. Like at this point, with that report, if that report was like this week, he's not coming back before the All-Star break.
He is resume swinging, but I believe if I understand right, he was playing in simulated games, but only defensively, which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. But I guess that's a thing that happens. So I guess he's swinging in the cages, but he is not like in any simulated games or anything like that, except for defensively.
That's a bummer. It's a bummer because my boy, Kyle Farmer, he's getting his groove back, baby.
Yes. Well, he could take over. He could take over for Kyle when just needs to get healthy by the trade deadline when, you know, Kyle Farmer brings us back our next diamond in the rough. And, you know, we keep the train moving.
When he's playing for the San Francisco Giants, as you said this weekend.
100% going to play. It's a perfect marriage. I've never seen anything that fits better than Kyle Farmer. Kyle,
Padres need a shortstop.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we'll take Jurison Profar for the rest of the season. Why not?
Yeah, Kim only hits against us, so we don't really want him back.
That's another Tim Daniel jinx right there.
Couldn't you see Farmer and Brandon Crawford on the left side of the infield? Like, Farmer playing third? Like, that's just, man, those guys would be like best friends. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I need to see like Kyle Farmer hit like 3 home runs in the playoffs. Like it would be awesome. It'd be the coolest.
Peter Gammons. Going way out of his way for this one. Hot takes.
Really went out on a limb.
How long did it take him to type that?
He definitely did type to text.
Yeah. Yeah. He was probably like
or voice to text.
Yeah. So Peter Gammon says that some club people say the Reds are now willing to talk Luis Castillo and Tyler Mahle, which, no shit. But I think, I mean, I feel like that was kind of one of those like obvious writing on the walls kind of thing with how everything has been going for this season and what their contract situations are and their arbitration status. Nick, correct me if I'm wrong. They're both unrestricted, what, the end of 23 or 24?
This year and next year, and then they're free agents.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't know what really more is there to say on this situation. I don't really care about the fact you talked about David Price and Frankie Montas by any means, but obviously, kind of bringing these two into like the Captain Obvious statement of the week.
Yeah, like, hey, hilarious. Peter, duh.
Yeah.
Thanks for the breaking news, buddy. Go back to whatever it is. What the hell you were doing?
I know there was this big report that they stopped shopping them at the end of spring. That was just because they're like, okay, we're not getting the offers we want. It's not like they were stopping shopping him because they're like, we are keeping them 100%.
We are committed.
It's just because they're like, yeah, we've seen the offers. No one is going to give us anything close to what we want right now. We're going to have them go into the season, and we're going to see if we can find a team that's more desperate at the trade deadline. And like I said before, like a team like the Dodgers is going to be more desperate in July than they are at the beginning of the season, because once you get to the trade deadline, there's no going back. You can't add quality pitchers. And good thing Carlos left the room, is like you saw like with the Padres last year, like they had to start Jake Arrieta because there was no one else to get, you know. So, you know, you're going to have teams that are more desperate, and I think you'll see some offers. The Dodgers are a very interesting team. I also like the Angels kind of with the way they're playing. I could see them wanting to kind of go out and maybe make a big splash like a Luis Castillo. Might have both of the LA teams fighting over him.
Yeah, I really like that Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout for Luis Castillo and Tyler Mahle deal. I think that's a great deal for the Reds.
I could see David Price coming back to the Reds. Not as like...
I was thinking the manager. What was the manager's name?
Brian Price?
Yeah.
not as a centerpiece, but Price is only has 1 year left on his contract, and he wants to start, and the Reds are going to need starting pitching after the trade deadline to kind of cover the year. So I could see him kind of being, you know, thrown in there. I don't know. I could see Luis Castillo and Mike Moustakas, whether Mike Moustakas actually ever plays for them or not, getting shipped to LA and coming back, David Price and some prospects. I could see something like that.
I'm not ready for this talk right now, guys.
Oh, sorry.
We just won 4 of 6. We won 4 of our 7 Come games on. This week. So,
can we have up for more this week, please?
You're not ready for the Mike Minor, Vladimir Gutierrez, River San Martin, David Price rotation?
I've been waiting 37 years to have a happy Reds moment, and we finally got it.
Did you grow up a Braves fan?
Yes. But the last several years feels like a total of 37. So,
touche.
Well, I don't think they both get traded. I don't know if that makes you feel better. I only think one of them will get moved.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if someone wants Tyler Mahle's 45 pitches in an inning, I'm sure we can make something happen.
If I had to choose, sorry, Tyler, we'll see ya. I got to keep seeing those changeups.
I agree.
From Louie.
Tyler's 2 years younger.
Matters. Yeah. Castillo's 2 years better. Don't you throw any stats at me to correct me either, Nick. I know how you are.
Luis Castillo's a better pitcher. Tyler Mahle's been a much more durable pitcher, though.
See, it's shocking that his arm's still on, honestly, with how many pitches he throws every inning.
Hey, man, the guy's got a rubber arm, man. You got to give him credit.
Got to be impressed with it, for sure. Should we talk down on the farm yet? Or is that where we're going here?
Sure.
All righty. So, as you know, we started this last week. We're going to keep it going throughout the season. So, just a little bit of minor league updates. Graham Ashcraft still doing big things. That 1.63 ERA in his last 5 starts. 21 strikeouts and 15 walks. Our guy, Matt McClain. Look at that. Look at that OPS. Sexy. Sexy numbers on that OPS. 8 homers and 7 stolen bases. Looks like Tommy Pham a little bit with these He sings on the bass path, right, Carlos?
God, you guys are killing me right now. Keep going, Tim.
Reds are going to have three all-stars. Pham, Stevenson, and Drury, just to really, like, a bunch of injuries. They're going to get three position players in the All-Star game. That'd be, like, the most random thing ever.
You'll have to see it. Andrew Abbott got called up to Double-A after 27 innings with 0.67 ERA, 40 Ks, and just 7 walks. And then the man of the hour that everyone's talking about, we've all seen the swings on the Twitters, Elly De La Cruz. Kind of got up to a little bit of a slow start. That OBP is not where it needs to be quite yet, but 3 homers, 8 stolen bases, and a 120 weighted runs created plus. Starting to see him get his groove back behind the plate. That kid, man, this guy's the freaking limit. He's everything you see from him is just exciting. So,
yeah, I mean, Ashcraft, his numbers look really good. I mean, a little too many walks. I'm assuming that's probably why he hasn't gotten a shot yet in the rotation, is that's probably the one thing that they're, you know, wanting him to be a little better at before they call him up. Matt McClain just feels like he's banging on the door, getting a promotion. Man, I cannot wait to see him make his debut. He's going to be one of my, like top 5 favorite Reds debuts. I don't know. Maybe that's hyperbole. I don't know. He's going to be up there.
Yeah. I did know this, and Matthew Fessler said in our chat. So I do have to make sure I get this. Elly De La Cruz in May has a .458 on base percentage. So yes, the numbers are clicking back up. It's exciting. Really pumped to see this kind of keep coming from him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am stoked about Elly. I am stoked about Matt McClain, man. It's hard not to be excited. I talked about Jay Allen last week. You know, he's had a really good start to his season as well. I know we're big fans of him here, so it's just so goofy. I know we talk about this every week now, where it's like there's the major league club, and then their top tier prospects are like A and double A ball right now. So it's like kind of just like this weird, strange like gap between like the big league ball club and where their top prospects are.
Yeah, I got a good comment here from Mr. Juan about Matt McClain's strikeout rate being a little concern. It's at 29% right now. I mean, yeah, I think you'd like to see him, you know, improve on that a little bit. He does walk a lot, though. MLB average is 23, so yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, definitely something.
Yeah.
You know, if you're hitting a lot of home runs and you're still getting on base at a high rate, I don't really worry too much about strikeouts.
Well, the thing that I worry about is he's striking out in Double A. Striking out at Double A that much, as opposed to hitting 8 home runs in the first month and a half, the strikeouts worry me more than the home runs, like, are appreciated, because he's not going to get those home runs in the big leagues, but he's going to get struck out more in the big leagues, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I know he's not ready for the big leagues right now, but that's kind of alarming.
Last year was 20%, so that's below MLB average. I mean,
but you can't.
He's only at 100 plate appearances this year.
Yeah, you can't compare what he's doing down there to what an MLB average is.
Yeah,
like I'd like to see what the average is at Double A.
I don't know.
I doubt there that's out there, but.
I'm sure it is. It's just we only have about 20 minutes left of the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's kind of alarming. That's weird. Does Ashcraft get a lot of ground balls? What kind of a pitcher is he? I really don't know. Because the time that I saw him in spring training, it was not bueno. And that 21 Ks and 15 walks, that's alarming as well.
Ashcraft's at 71% ground ball rate right now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, India was at 23% strikeout rate in A-ball. That was his highest sample minor league season. I don't know. Just trying to find like the best kind of like comp.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know if, again, he was 20 last year, about 29 this year. Yeah, I mean, even Tyler Stevenson was up at 22, and in his biggest season in the league. So
again, maybe I might have mistook, like, because he could be working on a certain thing too. So,
maybe I
misspoke. But yeah, they can definitely say, hey, you know, we're projecting you as a big leaguer as early as next year, so you need to work on this. And he does, and that causes more strikeouts because he's not used to that approach. And that definitely happens. So that could be the case here. So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't see him hitting 9 or 8 home runs in a month, month and a week. So, you know, maybe it is more of that power. And again, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I mean, that 29% striker rate definitely stands out. I'm not saying it doesn't. I just don't know if it's like, you know, like full blown alarm bells ringing. Something to watch, something to keep an eye on, but I don't think it's something that I'm going to be like, you know, freaking out about at this
point. I will freak out about is if we have his picture up here again and he's wearing a collared shirt underneath his jersey. Can we get an action shot one time?
Oh, yeah. It is super easy to find quality pictures of minor leaguers, Carlos.
You don't have anything going on between now and next Wednesday.
And so try to
get that big.
Try to turn them into a nice PNG with the background removal. Sheesh.
Carlos, you're making the slides next week. Nick's not here, so.
Yeah, you're on the slides, bud.
We're winging it, baby. Winging it, Tim.
We'll have fun.
You guys make sure and you tune in next week. Because next week's episode
might be our last. Nick might fire us.
Don't watch Nick. Don't watch live.
We're not going to announce it yet, but we should have a big guest on next week to hopefully keep you guys going. Cool. So yeah.
So let's talk about the bats, not the Louisville bats, actually, like the major league team. But we've seen some comments today about Brandon Drury. Obviously, been having a really really fun stretch. Really like him a lot. You're seeing the bats wake up a little more, like we talked about. And getting healthier. So, you know, you look at this list right here. You look at Tyler Stevenson's missed time, Nick Senzel's missed time, Joey Votto's missed time, Jake Fraley, Jonathan India, Mike Moustakas. So as far as like, that's, you know, the quality of contact, that's about 8 of the 15 guys on the list have missed a lot of major league time. So seeing them get healthy has been pretty fun. And, you know, obviously Brandon Drury's been a godsend to this team. Whether it's just like, you know, getting on base or getting clutch hits or big time homers, he's been a lot of fun to watch. So,
yeah, and I've been really, really impressed with Colin Moran, you know, kind of, you know, sticking it out. And, you know, obviously, he hit 4 home runs in 4 games. You're doing something right. But again, I never thought he was as bad as a lot of people, you know, seemed to enjoy making him out to be. He was supposed to be like the backup first baseman DH against, you know, right handed pitching. And I think he's done that role really well. And, I mean, I think this is a better lineup, man. If you could just get, you know, maybe India and Votto or, you know, Votto and Senzel, I mean, man, it really starts to become a much longer lineup. And again, the nice thing is the Reds are out of, a decent amount of their tough schedules with pitching. You know, they faced a lot of really, really, really good pitchers early in the year. And it's going to get a little bit easier there. And, I feel like they can face that Brewers bullpen every night. You know, maybe really, but
I felt so good last night when Josh Hader could not find the strike zone of his first couple of batters. I was like, okay, all right. And then Tham struck out, and I was like, son of a bitch. Josh Hader does not take much to get on and get going. Yeah, man, this has been obviously to kind of see them, like Nick said, get longer in the lineup. It's been really fun. I know it did cost us Aristides Aquino, Nick. I do apologize about that. But, you know, he's got 2 homers in Louisville.
I'm just happy he cleared waivers, you know, snuck him in at the right time when everyone had to cut 2 roster spots.
Did you think he was not going to clear waivers, Nick?
So I'm hanging out with Nick at the game Saturday when the notification pops up that Aristides Aquino has cleared waivers. And he looks at me and goes, I might have to get MILB TV just so I can watch Aquino play.
God almighty.
McLean didn't do it.
Yeah, McLean, Hunter Allen.
Green. Hunter nope. Green didn't.
Nick Lodolo, nope.
No, watch Aquino every night.
It's all about first impressions with Nick Kirby.
That's why we have a show with them. Oh, man. So, yeah. That's pretty fun. Ramos Garcia, he's, you know, on the team. He's fun. He started today at catcher.
Yeah.
About all I can say about Ramos Garcia. Really good swing in the show. Another guy that you should have on your show team if you do Diamond Dynasty. This is your backup catcher until the good ones come out. That's all I got. Dude, I was sweating bullets so bad today because Zach Bellerman tweeted that thing at us last week when the Brewers beat the Reds like 18-4. And I responded today with like that Daffy Duck gif of him like with his evil smile when they were up big. And they started coming back. I was like, I just shouldn't talk. I just should not say a word ever again. I was like, fuck, this is going to happen to us, isn't it?
I felt good. I think Rowdy had already batted, so I felt like, you know.
Didn't have the best series against the Reds this time around.
He struggled. The Reds figured him out.
Yeah, I hope so. God, just so people quit tweeting me every time he hits a homer. I know. Believe me. Nick and Carlos let me know every time. I picked him up on my fantasy team for that reason.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, the Reds do get another series this weekend with the Pittsburgh Pirates again. You're looking at the projected starters there. Connor Overton to pitch really well Saturday against the Pirates. Tyler Mahle on Friday. Luis Castillo on Saturday and Hunter Green on Sunday. Going against JT Brubaker, Mitch Keller, Zach Thompson, and Jose Quintana. Before going to Cleveland, which at the moment for the Tuesday game against Zach Plesac, Fleury Gutierrez is listed as a starter. We're hoping that's not the case, whether that be Mike Meyer or Nick Lodolo. Connor Overton going against Cal Quantrill in the second game. And then Tyler Mahle on Friday in Toronto. So going against, as projected currently, Hyun-Jin Ryu. So
it's nightmare fuel for the Reds lineup.
God. Yeah. Brandon Drury, though, playing his former team. Maybe he gets that Tommy Pham against the Padres thing going.
The Drury Revenge Tour.
Yeah. What are y'all going to do if the Red Legs run off 6 in a row? Or I guess it would be 7. Pop, 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 pop. Shaving off that beard, Tim Daniel?
No. I told you what I would do, and it's on wax, so I can't take it back. So.
That's why I was trying to get you, because I know you do crazy bets. So I was trying to get you.
Nick's wife said something to me Saturday.
I threw it out there. You didn't take the bet.
Yeah. No. Beard has to stay. You guys, I look like I'm 12 years old without a beard. So
you still look like a 12-year-old with a beard. You look pretty young, buddy.
Well, thanks, pal. I appreciate it.
It's a compliment.
I appreciate it. So this is what the projected projected matchups look at the moment. God, I'm really hoping Vlad's not making that start Tuesday.
They could have Overton pitch on normal rest instead of Vlad, then have Tyler pitch, and then Luis is still pitching on normal rest again at the start of the Toronto. So they could just skip Vlad. I wouldn't be shocked if they send him down tomorrow, bring up an extra reliever to kind of give them, and then that would get them until maybe Mike Minor can make his debut in Toronto. So I can see him doing something like that. I tell you what, though, Overton, Mahle, Castillo, Green in Pittsburgh. Hey, man, after kind of what we've seen, you know, starting pitching wise at times this year, that looks pretty good. Overton's been awesome. You know, I did a radio interview this week, and the first question I was asked was about Connor Overton. I was like, what is happening? But yeah, good for him, man. He's been awesome.
Absolutely.
He throw strikes. He was fun to watch on Saturday, and yeah,
I liked watching him pitch. He was fun. I think those matches are good, but here's kind of. So before the Reds come back for 4 games with the Cubs and 3 games with the Giants, they do have this road trip. So 4 with the Pirates, 2 with the Guardians, and then they end the road trip with 3 north of the border in Toronto. That's like on my bucket list stadiums to see. I want to stay in the hotel. I don't know if I would like love it, but I kind of want to do it sometime.
Better save up. I checked that out. It was like $1,000 a night.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I have a hard time.
I've told you all, but cool story. I hung out with Larry Walker, Joe Mauer, Joey Votto. No, not Joe Mauer. He's not Canadian. Who's a Canadian? Justin Morneau. all in one of those hotel rooms, drank hot ass beer. There's a fridge right there, but they didn't put the beer in the fridge. They left it on the bed, and we're just grabbing out of the bed. I don't know how we're drinking hot ass beer, but we did. And your old buddy Carlos didn't say a word. I was just listening to all these crazy stories, mainly by Larry Walker, because he was wearing like a, it was either an AC/DC or like Pantera, like baseball jersey. It was like something that you would find at Walmart, and that's what he was wearing.
Walmart or Spencer's. Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah. And it was a pretty cool last night.
Yeah,
Walker's humble brag. Sorry about it.
No, it's cool. We get it. You're friends with a former MVP who also hangs with the former MVPs. You know, it's great.
Hall of Famer, Larry Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. Expos legend-ish.
But yeah, I mean, the next 6 weeks, I mean, looks like at least certainly a much easier schedule than what they had the first, are we 6 weeks into the season? You know, so yeah, hopefully this is a chance they can at least kind of, you know, kind of get the record overall look a little more respectable. Be nice to pass the Pirates and Cubs in the next, you know, few weeks, and you know, at least have some positive momentum going.
Yeah, this, the Toronto series will be fun to watch just because of all their power, yeah, superstar power that they have. That'll be cool.
Springer,
I'm looking forward to that Cubs series. That'll be fun.
Saya.
Sorry, Joey. We're coming for you. And I don't mean Votto. I mean Rakata.
You think our boy Wade Miley gets a start in that series? Hopefully.
He better hope not.
I hope so.
We got a farm dog, and we got a Stevenson that would love to see him.
Better hope Donovan Solano ain't back yet.
I was like looking at June, and I was like, man, those like seven Diamondback games, if Zach Gallen just wants to not play in any of those and start, that's totally cool with me. If he just wants to be busy for 7 days, like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Nationals, Diamondbacks, ooh, those look tasty.
Yeah.
Don't say that about the Diamondbacks.
I just said they look tasty. I didn't
remember 2021 Diamondbacks at the beginning of the year.
Hey, this
five
is
one against the Reds.
This is June. They're only an April team.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I can't believe, like, did Washington sign Juan Soto to one of those Votto-esque contracts, or was I imagining that?
How have we gone this almost an hour and not talked about how awesome Tyler Stevenson's been? Before we go, can we talk on that for a little bit, Nick Kirby?
Absolutely. You're not going to hurt our feelings.
Yeah, I hate talking about Tyler Stevenson.
Come on.
He's awesome. Did I do a whole thing about how great
he's? We touched on it a little bit, yeah, to start the show.
I mean, but have we really?
Carlos, I'll put you in full screen. Tyler Stevenson thoughts.
I get nervous.
Nope, full screen. Tell us about
Tyler. Okay, let's go.
We're already full
screen. The kid has been phenomenal lately. He just needs ABs to get going. Good buddy of mine, first baseman for the Reds, last year said this kid's going to be special. And so far he has been. He's been doing well. He's been hitting the ball better, gap to gap. All I need for him is a little bit more power. Other than that, I mean, he's going to be, I talked about it online on Twitter with Chad and another buddy of mine. I mean, I'm projecting top three here by the end of next year. I mean, the kid is probably going to be the all-star for the Reds this year if he keeps up what he's doing. And I don't see him being as fluky as maybe a Brandon Drury or whoever else is performing well right now. Like we said this at the beginning of the year, we see him winning a Silver Slugger. We see him making all-star teams, and you know, he's not that young. He's doing well. And it's very exciting to see. It's very cool to see how he's embracing it. No moment is too big for him. You hear Jim Day, Barry Larkin talking about he's the leader QB1 of the team. Yeah, QB1. They've got that whole thing going on. And hey, more power to him. Good luck. Go get it, boy.
Yeah, I was pretty close to when I was at the team shop this weekend leaving with a Tyler Stevenson jersey. I won't lie to you. I need one.
I mean, yeah. He was.
So
I think he's got more room to grow defensively than he does offensively, because he's right on the cusp offensively. He's, I mean, since day one, he's always known his strike zone well. He's taken his walks. He's gone the other way. You know, he's made adjustments. He's growing as a player. So just defensively is the only thing that I guess you could have a little knock, but again, it's his first time ever catching big league pitching. So there's an adjustment that needs to be made. It's his first time being in charge of a big league roster. So there's adjustments that need to be, a lot of things going on. It's just not catching the ball and throwing the guy out at second base whenever he goes. There's a lot of that goes into to a catcher. So, you know, defensively, you can cut him some slack, but offensively, you don't have to worry about that.
The point you made there that I like the most was talking about how he's hitting gap to gap. And you're really seeing that today, especially, you know, a couple of those doubles he had. But Saturday afternoon, it was the game where he had like three or four hits, and you could just kind of see he was spraying the ball. And it, like, you know, like, I think the pop's going to come. I think he already has big league pop. And it's just, as he gets older, it's just going to keep coming more and more, especially because he's like still tapping into how good he is. I don't know if, you know, certainly not in our lifetime. I don't know if we've seen a Reds catcher this impressive immediately. I love Devin Mesoraco. His All-Star season was awesome. Friend of the program. But I don't know if I was ever felt the way I feel about Tyler Stevenson, the way I felt about Mez.
Yeah, like his pop, I'm not too concerned with it because, I mean, how many catchers do you expect to hit over 30 home runs, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so maybe. It's just, you know, I'd rather be happier with like just doubles, gap to gap, more than than homers every now and then, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's more of the style of hitter that he is, because he's like more crouched down, and maybe later in his career he'll stand up and try to hit for more power. But
you ready? You ready for this?
Yep.
He's slugging .519 right now. That's tied with Vladimir Guerrero.
Wow.
It'd be 20th in baseball. So he only has three home runs, but he's hitting for a lot of power. Power doesn't have to be home runs. Doubles are power, right? You know, two doubles equals one home run.
But that's kind of, I know I could double. I mean, a double can be a blooper over the face first baseman, right? And that's going to be considered power number at the end of the day. So
yeah, but how many of his how many of his doubles are like that?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna put him on the same level as power as Vladimir.
No. I'm not either. But I think he's probably somewhere in between, you know, last year was at 431, this year he's at 519. I think he's probably somewhere in between. But I mean, I think you're getting a high 400 slugging percentage out of a catcher.
Awesome.
I think that's pretty good. I don't think there's that many that slug that high.
Yeah,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I was trying to think of it, and I can't think of any. You know, and I know obviously we're not gonna get into that by any means, but the conversation continues to come up. Will he be the first baseman of the future for the team after Joey moves on? And maybe.
I don't think it's close. Even if Joey leaves after next year, like, I don't think they're gonna put him at first base. Then why would you?
Yeah, I agree.
You completely diminish his value. I mean, if he's slugging .450, that's a top 10 catcher slugging. If he's slugging .450, you're playing first base. It's not. I mean, you can pick up, like, Colin Moran. The Reds signed him for $1 million. And I know not everyone's the biggest Colin Moran fan in the world, but he's not a terrible player. Like, he can hit right-handed pitching above average. You can't go find a Colin Moran for $1 million to catch, right? You know, so
I know, man, Josh Van Meter just caught Saturday.
That was awesome. Is
Colin Moran needs to cut his neck hair. That is awful,
dude. So Saturday, we're like, Nick, like stepped away for a second when what's his face, the catcher for the Pirates, gets injured, and obviously earlier in the game, the backup gets ejected. So we're like sitting there, like, who the hell? And then I look at, like, I see Trent's tweet that says Josh Van Meter's behind the plate, and Jake and I are just like, well, this is going to be fun. I saw where Stevenson told him to take it to arbitration to make more money.
That's awesome.
Now catching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Josh Van Meter.
What is happening?
I wish I had friends that were Pittsburgh Pirates fans.
You know, it's that kind of stuff that makes a baseball season awesome. Reds and Pirates. Yeah, something crazy always happens.
Yeah, I wonder how much he knew of, like, the pitch cap thing, like how many of the, like, buttons he knew to press and stuff like that. I'm sure he probably went through it, but to remember it also, like being like the probably the designated emergency catcher. At least the Reds like emergency catchers like Kyle Farmer, you know, that's good for us. So
it was kind of refreshing to see Castillo not use that and just go old school with the signs.
Yeah,
I noticed that immediately.
That was fun.
Carlos, what's an emergency catcher go through? Like, what? How does that guy get designated? How much do they actually, like, participate in drills? It is completely on the fly.
0%.
So yes. Josh Hader was designated as the emergency catcher, but, like, has never actually spent a second thinking he would actually.
As much as Kyle Farmer has, and he's the emergency one. Right?
Yeah, well, he's actually caught, though.
I mean, yeah, he's caught in the majors.
I think Josh Hader
caught in the majors. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, when Alex Wood was here, he was
okay. Either way, bad example. But either way, right, yeah. Emergency catchers, they don't get any. No way.
Yeah, Josh
Hader. That emergency catcher is trying. He's playing for his major league career to stay on the roster as a backup. To the backup at shortstop and right field, so there's no way he's spending time learning to catch. No, there's zero. He's not involved in any of the meetings. He's not getting any of that.
How mad would you be if you were Will Crow and you had to pitch to a kid who has no idea what he's doing? How mad would you be if you were having a great season like Will Crow? He had a ERA, I think, of 1 coming to that. He had been dominating and he got lit up with an emergency catcher. Would you, you're probably not saying it publicly, but would you be like, that's all his fault, you know?
It just depends on, I guess, what kind of person you are, because I would say, hey, listen, I throw 2 pitches and I throw 2 pitches well. I have a third. I don't throw it well. So line up on the thirds on each side. Don't try to frame shit. Don't do anything. Just catch it. And then whatever happens, like you gotta be able to get through an inning without like being mentally weak to be like, oh, I'm throwing to this catcher. Crap. I mean, he's not catching it when it's getting hit. So what the hell are you blaming it on? You know?
I just feel like after that inning, you know, it'd be like an easy thing to blame it on.
Oh, for sure. That's for sure what he's saying. I can't get my groove. I'm having to shake off every pitch. Whatever.
You didn't have Roberto behind the plate.
Plus, not to mention he pitched for the Pirates. So, you know, there's also that part of it.
Yeah. Hey,
kills true.
So I'm guessing when you were with Joey in the minors, as soon as they opened the first, it was like he was never designated the emergency catcher.
No, sir. Somebody would get fired if they put him behind at catcher immediately.
Oh, man. Who were your catchers in the minors? Hannigan?
Hannigan was the majority. Miguel Perez, he had a little big league time.
Yeah, I remember that name.
That was pretty much it with the Reds. Hannigan was a level up until I got to low A or high A, and Miguel Perez was always the catcher with me going up level to level. So double A. High A was Hannigan, double A, Hannigan. And then he went to triple A the next year. And I stayed at double A, and Miguel Perez was catcher at double A.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Nice. Yeah.
One time, Miguel Perez, we were at home in Chattanooga, and we had to pause the game because he had to go take a crap. And so we see him running from the dugout, and the clubhouse is in right field. So we like see him running with his shin guards, and we're like, what the hell is he doing? And then all of a sudden it all clicks because we all know that Miguel, if he poops, he's got to take a shower. You can't just poop and get back out. He like feels disgusted. So we're like, oh, crap. We're like, we better not have a 1-2-3 inning or something quick. Sure enough, it was a quick inning. And they're like delaying the game. Everybody's out there. And you see our manager go and walk to the umpire. And then you see Miguel come running out. Like smiling, and we all know what's going on. He had to go poop, but he had to take a shower. So imagine how long it takes to like put your uniform on whenever you're still wet. Like you're like pull like yeah, it was a big mess, but that was a funny story.
Well,
he delayed the game because he pooped and showered.
I know what segment of this week's episode is going on our TikTok channel.
Tune in next week to find out which player had bodily issues in the minor league from Carlos.
Oh, man. Nick is letting us unsupervised next week, Carlos. Can you believe that?
Can't wait.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man. Well, I think we can go ahead and say and put a bow after that story on this week's edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live.
Is that it?
Pretty sure we got to say a sponsor or something, right?
Yeah.
We do at some point, but I know Nick wanted to get say one quick thing real quicker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. So, parting shot from Nick Kirby. I had a great time at Great American Ballpark. It was a lot of fun. Got to hang out with a lot of cool people.
Meet it was like Reds Twitter in real life.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I would definitely say, look, if you're boycotting the team, go for it. That's your right. But if you want to go to a game, don't let anyone tell you not to. It's a fun time. And I had a great time at the ballpark. It's therapeutic in a lot of ways. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Most of all, you got to hang out with me. So
absolutely.
You know. Right. What's better than that? Now we just got to get Carlos to come up. We can all do a trip together, the three of us.
I was going to come in June. The weekend that I picked, the wife said, eh. So I'm going for July now. I'm thinking July 4th weekend.
Okay. Let me know. Yeah, we'll put a plan together. So, yes, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live here, part of the Believe Podcast Network, brought to you by Bet Online. Be sure to go to Bet Online, use our promo code Believe to get your 50% deposit welcome bonus. This is going to be fun. Thank you all for tuning in. Like we said, Curb gets the night off next week. Well-deserved. Carlos and I will be holding it down, hopefully with a guest, but if not, it's still going to be just as entertaining. Take it easy, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.